Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Yes People podcast. I'm your host, Savvy Rocks, and today I'm humble enough to have Jensen here with me, who's a musician. Jensen, thank you so much for coming on the Yes People podcast. How are you?
Absolutely. I'm good. I'm grateful to be here. I'm grateful that we figured out the time difference.
Oh, it is quite a big time difference. I didn't realize what time difference we have. So I was like, okay, so it's a, I thought it was a couple hours, maybe about 3-4. Huh? No, it wasn't.
No, but no, we made it work.
I think it's down to determination and just having the communication between two people. And I think that was really nice. So I'm humbled to have you on the show, and I want to thank you, first of all, even before we've started. So thank you.
Very glad to be here. Thank you so much for asking me.
No, it's perfect. So my first question to you is define yourself as a person. Who do you see when you look in the mirror?
Who do I see?
When you look in the mirror.
When I look in the mirror.
It's a random question for you. It's the first one. I remember you said to me, bring it with questions. So I said, I'm not going to give you your typical questions.
Great. I love it. Make me think. You know, who I see in the mirror now is the person that I always saw in my head.
Yeah.
I always felt like, you know, I didn't look right. I didn't feel right. I didn't have the body that I thought I should have. I didn't have the voice that I thought I should have. And I had this massive experience last year where when the first time I looked in the mirror and saw, I was like, oh, this is the person that I've wanted to see my whole life, that I knew that was there. Yeah. Nobody else thought was there but me. And I was like, I knew you were in me this whole time. I said it out loud. I was like, I knew it. I knew you were there. Nobody believed me. I was saying it my whole life. Nobody believed me, but I knew you were there. So right now, I think I'm a cute little teenage boy, even though I'm not a teenager. I'm like a teenage boy.
No, you're a boy. As long as you're happy inside, that's what counts. It doesn't matter as long as you're happy inside. So I'm a relatively shy person, even though people don't believe it. And my friends will say, no, you're not. But how do you feel when it comes to emotionally expressing yourself as an individual? How do you think you are?
You know, I was just actually talking about this yesterday. And I'm having a lot of anger at the way that I was raised, because I remember there was a very short time when I was little before like trauma started and life started happening where I was very expressive and bold, and I would just say things that I thought, and I was loud and I took up space and I wasn't afraid to take up space.
Yeah.
And I was taught to not do that. I was taught to not be expressive. I was taught that my feelings or my thoughts or my opinions were wrong or didn't matter or weren't good enough. And now I'm unlearning that at almost, I'm going to be 39 on Wednesday.
Was that from your parents, or was that a specific person who turned around and said, you're not allowed to express yourself, I'm going to take away that element of you?
Yeah, it was the combination of the adult figures in my life growing up. Okay. And they all kind of did it in different ways. And okay. some worse than others, and some more aggressive than others, but it was all just this feeling of like you kind of don't know what you're talking about, and now we have to manage your emotions, and Jensen's acting out again. And it's like I couldn't express my emotions. I couldn't talk about them with a lot of the adults in my life. And then I couldn't act them out as a child, because anything that I did to be expressive was looked at as acting out, or like I was just deemed like a bad kid and with a lot of problems. And that's how I was looked at for years and years and years, and am just now pulling myself out of that, of like, no, I was always speaking my truth. I was a good kid. I was funny. I was brave, but I did what you guys taught me to do, which was be very small. And I'm unlearning that now.
Do you feel that sometimes when somebody says something to you to make you less expressive towards yourself, when really is that that's a reflection of themselves? Because sometimes people will say stuff and it's really a reflection of how they feel or what they feel inside.
Absolutely. Anything that anybody's opinion is really a reflection on themselves. Anybody's opinion about somebody else is really a reflection on themselves. Good, bad, indifferent, you know, good, bad, ugly, in between, whatever. But as a kid, you don't know that.
That's true.
Because you look at your parents and adults as the authority figures, as, at least for me, looked at them as godlike.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't have any kind of higher power or God or spirituality growing up. So my parents, the authority figures, were that. They were the final say in everything. So if they didn't like what I was doing, it was, to me as a kid, the equivalent of God coming down and saying, you're wrong. Because these people were, their opinions were the only thing that mattered to me because I was a kid and I needed to feel safe. So I do absolutely, I can logically say, like when I get hateful comments on Instagram or YouTube or whatever, like, that's more about the person than it is about me. And logically, I know that, but there's still trauma in me that goes, oh, they must know something that I don't know. Because that's what I felt with some of the adults in my life when they would tell me, when they would tell me their opinion of me, I'd be like, well, clearly they know because they're the adults. So I still have that in me where it just hits really hard and no logic or no reasoning it out.
Do you feel like
hits
you will
that trauma part?
Do you feel like you will carry that with you continuously, or do you think that there will be a point where you say to yourself, it will stop?
I'm slowly letting it go, or I'm doing so much trauma work. I got diagnosed with PTSD a couple years ago, and I'm doing EMDR therapy plus regular therapy, plus I'm in a 12-step recovery community. So slowly, 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 I'm able to let it go, or it doesn't hit as hard, or it doesn't hit as hard for as long. So I don't know that it'll ever stop, only because we're human and we feel and we are vulnerable, and words absolutely hurt. They just
words have power.
They absolutely have power. And so I don't think I'm just going to stop not getting hurt or not being affected by negativity, but I'm noticing that it's less and less and less. Like the volume keeps getting turned down.
Which is a good
thing. A little bit.
You just need to turn it down and just take out the plug eventually.
Yeah, then eventually it's down, or you're like, oh, I don't plug into this.
Yeah.
But it's hard to go when it's 10 and screaming. Chances are you can't even find where it's plugged in because you're just like, everything is screaming at me. Why are you screaming at me? You know?
I think we all go through it in different ways. I taught myself that I give consent to what affects me.
Mm.
And I know that's such an easy thing to say and it's such a hard thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
But we all individually as humans go through it differently. And I know that you're definitely going through it differently compared to everyone else. So you just need to take it day by day, I would say, just out of what I've been through in my life, you know. So that's definitely something. One of the questions I do have for you is talk to me about the process of changing your name, because I have a friend, like I was telling you before, and she went through the process of changing her name. But what was it like for you to change your name over to Jensen the way you wanted your name to be?
It was mixed. I remember going to the courthouse, and it was actually a fairly easy process overall, which I'm so thankful for the people that came before me that had to fight for the rights to make it this easy, because it was not easy. This easy even 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. So I'm was very aware of my community, their shoulders that I was standing on. to be like, thank you for making it this easy. Is it a little inconvenient? Yeah, but compared to what my trans brothers and sisters had to go through before me, it's like, yeah, I'm fine. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So there was, it was, it's like a birth and a death for me. And that's what it's been. My whole transition has been that of the birth of this new thing, Jensen, which is kind of already always been there, but not quite in a form. And then the death of Jennifer. And it's a, you know, it's a slow growing up for Jensen, and it's a kind of a slow death for Jennifer, slow grieving process. So there was a, you know, I always loved my name. You know, my name was Jennifer Catherine, and I always loved it. I didn't feel like it fit me. But I loved it. It was not negative to me, whereas some people have a lot of name dysphoria. I really didn't. And I loved where my name came from. So I cried. I called after I went and got the paperwork from the courthouse. I called my mom and stepfather and just sobbed. And I was like, I don't want you to feel like I don't love what you gave to me, because I do. And my middle name, Catherine, is from my aunt, who I just adore. And I text her and I was like, you know, everything's different, but please know, like, it was still an honor to have your name. And I still hold that name very, very close to me. But it was weird. Like, for a bit, it was like, okay, I felt like I was getting away with something when I started introducing myself as Jensen. It was like a big deal, but I was like, and then people would just call me Jensen. I was like, what is happening?
Did you react to it straight away? Or was it something that you had to slowly get used to?
It was slow. It was really slow because it didn't feel right. It didn't feel like me. And so it was like, all right, I'm not relating to Jennifer. Jen still feels really good. Jensen feels totally weird. And yeah, people would call my name, be like, Jensen, Jensen. And I'm just like, da, 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 da. Like, oh, me. Yes, yes, yes. That's right. Because that is my name. That's right. Okay, I'm Jensen. I told you that's what they're going. There was multiple instances of that. And now, you know, because originally it was like, I want to have Jensen so that I could still go by Jen if I want
that
to.
Makes
my
sense.
Friends could call me that. But even, because I think Jen can be gender neutral. It's not like
that's
all
true.
This idea of like, well, Jen is a girl's name. What? Enough with these rules. Like, stop. You know what I mean? Like, so I was like, okay, I think I can make Jen gender neutral. It's fine. But I am feeling like even Jen is going out a bit.
Why?
I don't know. It's just like this natural thing and letting it happen of like, Jensen is really starting to feel like me.
Yeah.
And so Jen is now moving a little bit over of like, people still call me it. I tell them that's totally fine. Especially my old friends. I've had friends for like some 15 plus years, really, really good friends. And so they call me Jen, but I don't know why, it's just moving and I'm allowing it the space to do what it wants to do.
Everything with time, I would say everything. So what's the process hot like? I know that you said it was easy, because when I was talking to a friend of mine, they said that they went into a room and there was four people in there. And I don't know if it was the same for you, it might be a little bit different. There was four people in there and they got to decide whether or not she could be who she wanted to be.
Mm.
And she could have the name that she wanted. Was that a similar case for you?
Well, a judge did have to sign off on it, but I wasn't there for it. So I filled out all the paperwork, spent a bunch of money, and then just waited for the judge to approve it. So I did. Yeah. So technically I did have somebody decide whether it was okay for me to do it, but I wasn't there. I wasn't there making a case for it. And I had all the proper paperwork with the doctor's recommendations and why, you know, to conform with my identity, my gender identity. So everything that I heard was that it's just paperwork.
Yeah.
And it's not personal at all. And that's what I found it to be, just very generic. Have your paperwork, sign it.
That's actually really, really cool. It's nice to know that it was made that simple,
mm-hmm.
rather than it being complicated like I've heard before. So tell me a little bit about how you handle relationships. So how are you now that you are the person that you want to be? How do you handle being in a relationship, or at the moment, do you find that you're more concentrating on who you are as an individual and you're just taking it so that you grow within yourself first and then you can concentrate on someone else after?
You're talking about romantic relationships?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I have not committed to anybody since transition. I spent my life committing to various people. And I don't have the best. I don't have the,
wow.
The best. I don't choose the best people. My relationship selector is slightly off.
Who do you go for?
That's a whole other.
That's a whole other podcast.
That's a whole. It was talking about all my failed relationships.
Wow.
That wow. is a whole. We'd have to take it person by person.
Oh wow. Okay. Hey. Hey, we got time. Okay.
Yeah. But the main thing is I was in codependent relationships,
yes.
where I continually put the other person first in the hopes okay. that they would never leave. And okay. I was not a perfect person to be with either, because then I would go crazy when they wouldn't give me what I felt like I wanted. So I'm not okay. saying it was truly a partnership in chaos.
Okay. All right.
And a relationship ended right before transition, and that it nearly broke me.
Wow.
And to have it end right before I went through everything, and it was just so difficult and messy. And from there I was like, I can't do this. I'm not going to do this anymore. I refuse to get treated this way again, because it was just the same. It's the same person with a different name and different face. The ending is always the same. And I was like, I cannot do this anymore. I remember looking at my ex, and like I could just see all my exes like behind her going like, oh my God, it always ends like this.
Is it that bad, or is it one of those things where it just becomes total chaos in the end, where you lose communication, or
it gets that bad because I will not leave until it gets bad. Because okay. I would like to say that I'm loyal, but the thing is, I didn't have self-esteem. I didn't have boundaries. I didn't know how to say no. I didn't know how to advocate for myself. So I could have gotten out of all my relationships a lot earlier, but I just didn't know how. I saw the red flags. I saw the things that weren't good. I saw mm-hmm. the way that she was behaving or I was behaving, and I knew something was off, but I didn't have the tools at that time to say, we need to stop. So I would just thing after thing after thing, it would pile up and pile up and pile up until there would just be this chaos and mess. And then I'm staring at this room that's just trashed, going like, oh my God, we're here again. We're here again. And so for transition, I felt so lucky. I feel lucky that I'm able to do it. And I yeah. feel like I get a second chance at life. And in a way that I get to raise myself. I get to show my self-love. I'm not relying on these adults or authority figures anymore, but I have to be the one that advocates for me. And I have this amazing opportunity that not a lot of people get to have. There's yeah. so many trans people that don't have the money, the support, the community, the doctors, to be able to transition.
Yeah.
And I get to. That's a privilege. As hard as it can be to be transgender and be out, and especially with the political climate right now, yeah, it is still a privilege to get to transition. For me, it is a privilege for me that I took very seriously of like, if I get a new shot at life, if God's going to give me this new shot at life, mm-hmm, we're not playing the same game anymore.
I like this.
So I dated for a little bit right after transition, and it turned into the same thing. It was just for a few months, but I started doing that same thing of like completely focusing on her, what her needs were, how to get her happy. And my friends were just like,
it works both ways. You have to make each other happy.
Yeah. Like, no. This is not good. And I was able to leave. We mutually decided to stop dating, which was great. And it was the least dramatic thing that I've ever experienced. But because I paid attention to my red flags, and somewhere she paid attention to her red flags.
She's good.
And so then we were able to just be like, okay, this doesn't work. And so it was like, oh, but 3 years ago, I would have committed to her immediately.
Wow.
That's what I did with all of them. I commit so fast. I'm like, cool. You made eye contact with me. Now we're together.
Wow. Okay. It's like that. Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I better not whistle or anything.
Don't do anything. It gets all confused in my brain.
Oh, one of the questions I really do want to ask you, and I think it's one of the things that a lot of women like to ask as well. In a male-dominated world, a male seems to get treated a lot differently than a woman when it comes to jobs, when it comes to opportunities. You being a guy, do you feel like more opportunities have come your way now than before?
Not yet. And I don't know if ever, but because I think there's a misconception with transitioning of like, well, you were a female and now you're a guy now, which it skips this in between,
yeah,
that I'm at, where it's, yeah, like sometimes I still get called ma'am, especially if I shave. I'm still, to some people, look like a butch lesbian. So it's not this clear cut, like you're outside of the door, now you're inside. If that makes sense, of like, okay, well, now I'm getting all these things because now everybody reads me as a man. Because right now, some people don't know what to do with me, especially if they knew me as female.
Yeah.
And then they don't know how to support me or what opportunities to give me. Because at least when I was female, I belonged in a category. And yeah, so I got hired a lot for being a female guitar player. Like, I lost a lot of jobs because I was female, but also I got a ton of jobs because I was female. So it wasn't one or the other. Like, because it made me stand out. And part of why I went as far as I have in my career was in the early stages of doing YouTube videos and those guitar instructional videos, nobody looked like me.
That's true.
Nobody. And that I was a woman, but I was kind of petite. But I had very large breasts at the time. And, you know, I stood out. I had a mohawk.
Yeah.
It was pink and red.
Like, are you trying to remember?
I'm like, it just seems like a lifetime ago.
You're trying to remember. I was like,
It's like, I got hired for amazing things because I was female and I stood out. And yeah, then now it's like, okay, well, what do we do? Because I was kind of like the token girl, right?
Yeah.
Oh, we're diverse. We've got Jen. We support female players. Look, and now it's like, it's like, oh, well, now Jen is this. But it's that same thing of like, when we talk about gender, like being... Oh, hold on one sec. The thing is gonna. It stopped for a second. One sec. My disk overloaded.
Ooh.
With the recording. Okay. There we go. Okay. So I think the thing with gender is it's still when people ask me that question of like, well, you were a girl and now you're a guy. It's this assumption of cisgender of, okay, well, now you're like, you're looked at as a cisgender guy. It's like, no, I may be a guy, but I'm still a trans man. And trans has so much more to it than when we think of cis men.
Yeah.
So it's very complex. And I'm also, I think we talked about this on the phone, like, yeah, I'm 5 foot. I'm little. I like
same
to
height
think,
as me.
I like to think that I'm a huge MMA fighter when I'm walking down the street. But the fact is, I am little. I'm tiny.
It's and, okay.
And if you, I'm still afraid to walk down the street at night.
Why?
I'm afraid of men. Because as a being a female presenting person for 36, 37 years.
Yeah.
And being afraid of men is deeply coded in me. So just because I have a little bit of facial hair and no breasts, I still have that in me of like, I'm going to get hurt if I walk down a dark alley. Like, I don't have this like cis man thing where they're like, what's the problem? You know how cis man can be sometimes where they're just unaware,
yeah,
of how scary it is for women like that. I am aware. I lived it. I was assaulted when I was a teenager. I was sexually assaulted in public when I was a teenager by a man. Yeah. It was on a bus and I was assaulted. And so if you think I'm not living with that fear still, just because I don't have breasts and I have testosterone in me, it's like, no. I'm still conditioned as a female. I'm still afraid too of how I'm going to get read.
How is it for you now? How do you live with it every day? How do you try and change it? Is there anything in you that tries to change it? Do you ever think that you ever will go out at night? Do you ever think that your mindset will change?
I don't know. It back to that day by day thing, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know. And a part of me doesn't want to lose connection with that, because I know that especially some, I know it can be tender for some women, for cis women, to feel like they're losing somebody from their community.
Yeah.
And feeling like, but, you know, but feminism, and now you're just going to turn into, for me, like a white passing male. I'm mixed, but I can pass as completely white. And so then we're losing that. But it's like, no, I am on the side of feminism because yeah, I lived it. I lived with the inequality. I lived with the fear. I lived with the judgment. I lived with the being talked down to. I lived with the, you know, you're not good enough, or being looked at as just my body. And the thing is, it's still going on. Like, I got this comment, my value for certain people is still based on how I look, even though I'm a man. So one guy made a comment on my YouTube channel of basically saying, well, I'll sum it up with the basically what everybody is saying of like, they're so sad and upset and it's a shame that I'm no longer a woman and I'm no longer attractive to them. So somehow my worth is diminished because I do not have breasts and I don't read as feminine. So that's the kind of stuff that's coming to me right now, is that my worth was based off of how cute I was to them.
I would say two words to them, but I can't say on the podcast.
But it's not clean. That's the other thing. It's not clean of like, yeah, you're a girl, now you're a guy. It's like, there's so much mixed into that. And when you start poking at what it means to be attracted to somebody, and especially when it comes to men, which is why trans women are so at risk for being beaten, abused, harassed, murdered, tortured, is because it's so ingrained of like cis men should only like cis females. And so when I start poking at that, or when trans women start poking at that, it elicits a lot of anger and uncomfortability, which is what puts trans women at serious risk. I'm at less of a risk than a trans woman, especially a trans woman of color, but it's still the amount of angry messages and like vile things that were said to me after I came out was unbelievable.
Because you start, you find that's just ignorance and fear. People fear things they don't understand.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. But you know, ignorance and fear gets people to do crazy things.
Oh, no, trust me, I know.
Yeah.
I'm a woman of color. So, hey, if anyone would understand it, Jensen, it's definitely me. How do you find peace in yourself emotionally, physically, and spiritually when you have total chaos going on?
I find peace in my 12-step community, for sure. I find peace in developing my relationship with God, or you know, a higher power, spirituality of my choosing. I'm at peace when I'm hanging out with my cat.
Yeah, I got free. I understand you.
But yeah, when I'm with people that really love me and see me and let me be who I am without any expectations, it's just so calming now.
Who are the strongest influences in your life?
For a long time, I mean, definitely my mom. Yeah. She's the strongest woman I've ever met. Strong and soft, and she has every reason to be a complete nutcase for how she grew up and what she went through. And she has made decision after decision after decision to be kinder and gentler and softer and be a light in this world. When if you knew her story, you'd be like, you should be a lunatic.
Wow.
Crazy lunatic for what you had to endure and what you had to go through. And you're not. Not only are you not a lunatic, but you've chosen to be a healer to so many people. She was a nurse for 20 years, an oncology nurse, and she's literally devoted her entire life to trying to end suffering. That's my mom.
Your mom made a choice. I believe that your mom made a choice. She said, there are two pathways in my life, a pathway of destruction and a pathway of healing. I choose the pathway of healing to show people no matter what bad goes in your life, you can take the right path. And I believe that's what your mom done.
Mm-hmm. But yet, to me, it's like what I'm realizing in my own healing is it's not one choice. It's not like you're either bad, you choose this way, or you're good. It's day after day after day, decision after decision, every single moment, everything that comes in, we have a decision of how we want to do it. How do we want to align, or how do we want to create chaos, or how do we want to do both? How do I align and create chaos at the same time? Sometimes you can. That's fun.
But to like, deal with that.
That's what, again, the people that inspire me are the people in my 12-step community, because nobody forces you to go. Nobody forces you to call people. Nobody forces you to attend meetings. Nobody forces you to get a sponsor. Nobody forces you to do the steps. You have to decide day after day after day after day to commit to your healing. And so it's definitely my mom was the core of that. Yeah. She made massive shifts and then continued to do it and still does. And now my community of people that I see that, again, just have had such pain in their lives and they choose healing.
I like that. If you had a chance to go back to one memory in your life, What memory would you choose, and why would you choose that particular memory to go back to?
Can I just look back on it, or can I mess with it?
You cheating, huh? Okay. You can mess with it. I like creativity.
Let's see. The one memory, I always said this. So I worked with a, ooh, this, I'm surprised. I thought I was going to cry earlier, but this will probably get me. I had a songwriting partner and a business partner for 8 years. Her name's Abby Miller. She is amazing. And I always said that if I could, I would go back to the very first time we jammed together. Because I it's the whole thing, but I didn't, she put up an ad at my music school, at Musicians Institute, for a guitar player. I met her at a coffee shop. I was like, she's like, oh, I've never played with anybody before. I'm like, oh my God, okay. And she's like, yeah, but I write poems. And she sent me all these poems that were just like long. They didn't even rhyme. It was nothing. I was like, oh man, I am not looking forward to this. And I was so mean to her. She came over, like, I wouldn't even look at her in the eye. I was like, let's just get this over with. And I started playing something, and she started singing this beautiful melody. And I remember just like looking up at her. And then I started messing with her, like, I played in different keys, different times, and wherever I went, she followed me and was just like singing her heart out, and it was beautiful. And I remember just looking at her and being like, I'm gonna keep that one. And I would love to go back to that. I would love to go back to that. Me being so grumpy and being like, and
You're
it
being
turned
so
into,
grumpy.
oh, I was so grumpy. I was so grumpy. And then just absolutely falling in love with her musically. She's one of the loves of my life. Again, when nothing romantic happened, but we got to tour together. We did so much stuff, and she's still one of my favorite people on the planet. So I would love to go back to that moment
I
where I
like
fell
that.
in love with her musically.
Aww. How do you feel about society and the world we live in at the moment, especially when it comes to fighting against racism? It's a hard topic right now.
Yeah. I mean, on one hand, I'm so glad that the veil has gotten ripped off in the way that it has, because I was very ignorant too to what was going on daily, and to my friends of color. I didn't realize that this was a daily thing. I thought, I know it's ignorant, but I'm gonna own it. I'm gonna own my ignorance. As I just kind of thought it happened to other people over there,
Yeah, I understand you.
not my friend group, who are talented and amazing and honest and loyal and middle class. You know what I mean? Just work like, no. This happens over there. It doesn't happen. And I didn't know. I didn't know. And then when everything started to happen here, and I was able to talk with my friends, and I was like, can you tell me your experience? And to hear that it's a daily thing. They get followed daily. They are afraid daily. They shut their mouths daily. You know, they have to put things away daily. They get harassed daily. It's like, and then you open it up to their family. What does their family have to go through? What does their community have to go through? And just go, oh my God, I didn't know. I didn't know. And I'm so sorry. I had no idea. It's ridiculous, but I didn't know. So for
I
me,
love the fact that you owned it there. I really
yeah.
do.
No, I was completely ignorant to it. And I'm actually working in therapy around it, because we've talked. I have a therapist who's very skilled in social justice, and so she's helping me to understand why I had to close off to what was going on around me, and even my own family system. I'm a quarter Filipino, so my dad's half Filipino, my grandfather was from the Philippines and how they were harassed because they were looked at, they were called black, even though clearly they were not black because they were darker skinned. And then how we just got watered down and watered down and watered down and assimilated, like that side of the family completely assimilated. So I have zero culture. I have zero Filipino culture because they tried to make it disappear because of what happened to them. Oh, wow. Of course, I don't know anything else that's going on around me because I wasn't taught. I wasn't taught to look for anything, you know. It was just like, oh no, you just assimilate. I didn't even know what assimilation was. I was like, this is just what it is. I didn't know anything.
Oh.
But it's been important for me to learn and to listen to my friends, listen to their experiences, and trust them, and not that I wouldn't trust them, but just listen and not try to make it better and not try to be like, oh, well, maybe, you know, this person who yelled at you was probably just drunk or whatever. Be like, no, no,
yeah,
this is not, we don't, because I just would try to make things better. And so people aren't going to talk to me if I'm not listening to their story and not saying, okay, I'm just going to sit here and hear you and hear your pain and your sadness. So it's been important to me to learn as much as I can without feeling like I have to add anything. I think that's the important thing. Just shut up and listen. Listen to the people that are getting abused. Listen to the people that are afraid. Listen to the people that are fighting. Shut up and listen, please.
But then you have things in common that you can share with them because you're going through things yourself. So I believe that as we are going through things, you are going through things too. And somewhere we find a balance between us. And that's how everyone can evolve together, by finding that balance. What is a passion of yours that you rarely share with people, that you love doing, but you rarely share it?
You know what? That's funny. You know what? I really like dancing. I can't.
Oh, cool.
I really like dancing. My grandfather was a dance instructor. And I am very awkward when I dance. And I really do want to learn for reals. Because also I've been, I just got into pose. And that's been a big deal for me. Feeling like that is my, you know, transgender, it's a transgender space that's been around for a long time that I never knew existed. And I used to love Madonna. I was just crazy about Madonna. So when Vogue, I just learned that Vogue did not come from Madonna. I just learned. I didn't know. See, I'll tell you all about how ignorant I am.
Whoa.
I had no idea. I thought that was her song. She just invented this thing, whatever. Not a clue. And, you know, watching Vogue, and then I've been watching a bunch of stuff about ballroom, and I watched the Vogue video again.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen it probably since it came out. I remember watching it as it came out. Like and being like, I was in such pain at that time when I was watching it as a kid, because feeling like there was nobody like me. Like I was a boy trapped in this girl's body. Nobody believed me. Nobody knew. There was no information out there for a kid in the 80s.
That's true.
Nothing. And then to feel like I'm watching this video that is completely taken from my community of transgender people, completely not even inspired by, I would say appropriated.
Hey.
I think Madonna has done a lot of good stuff, but
yeah.
So I don't want to take away from how she, especially how she supported gays and and I don't even know how to say it, but
say it how it comes to you.
It still wasn't letting people know where it was really coming from.
That's true. Okay. Yeah.
And to be like, I was so close to people who were like me. It was just on the other side of this song, on the other side of this video. It was there. And it just took years and years and years for me to be like, oh my God.
How did you feel when you watched it again years later?
It made a little more sense as far as like, especially I smiled when the line is, it doesn't matter if you're black or white, if you're a boy or a girl. And I was like, oh God, I get it. Oh God. Oh. You're talking about my transgender sisters. Like it was like, oh my God, that took on a whole new meaning to me. Like, that's why it didn't matter. It didn't matter what gender you were, because people were changing their gender and playing with gender and, you know, doing all these things. But it was just presented by a white woman, again, who was pushing boundaries, who I really respect. But I wanted to see the originators of it, to know that I wasn't alone.
Yeah. But and like, I think more and more people are coming out and being free. And they don't care how they get judged anymore.
Well, I think the internet helps. Because
that's true.
If I would have done a Google search when I was a kid, I feel like a boy. Transgender would pop up. Do you know what I mean? What do you do when you're a girl that feels like a boy? All this information were to pop up. So I think I didn't have anybody to reflect back who I was.
Yeah.
Until much, much later. But I think people are able to find that a lot faster online. And then all these communities and following people on Instagram that you can see yourself reflected back instantly with almost anything that you think that you are or want to be or want to explore. And I think that that's really powerful. And if I would have had that, I don't know what I would have done, but I didn't have anybody that looked like me, that thought like me, that talked like me, that wanted what I wanted until later.
How does it feel for you now, knowing that there's a whole community out there to support you?
Oh, I love it. I love it. It heals that little kid that still hurts in me. So every time somebody advocates for me, every time somebody uses my pronouns, every time somebody just says that they see me, that it's not, you're not just talking to the adult 39-year-old version of me. You're talking to this little kid who was told over and over and over and over and over again, you're not this thing and you'll never be this thing. And so the more that I allow people to validate me, the more that little kid starts to grow up and get stronger and get more confident. And the more that he wants to come out and be seen. So it's like, it kind of rolls on itself. It snowballs on itself. It's like the more I let out, the more people validate, which means the more I want to let out, which means the more people validate. And it's like, oh, this is nice. This is nice.
It's like a freedom, right? It's like a freedom within you.
Mm-hmm.
No, I understand that. I totally understand that. As a musician, if there was one artist in the world who you could choose to work with, what artist would you choose and why would you choose that particular artist to work with?
Oh, man. That's a great question. I mean, there's so many. I mean, I would love to work with Lindsey Buckingham from Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
I just want to get into his brain. I want to understand how he thinks about the guitar, how he approaches songwriting, how he approaches guitar parts. I just think he's absolutely phenomenal, completely underrated as a guitar player. I think he has written so many amazing songs, but my favorite thing about him is that he is a songwriter. So sometimes he doesn't do the flashiest thing that he could do because he knows how to serve the song. So he knows how to support, especially Stevie Nicks in her songwriting. So he is not flashy. He doesn't do anything crazy because he's supporting her story, or he's just in support of the album as a whole, because he produced Tusk, and that's one of my favorite albums.
Yeah.
So I would just love to like get into his brain.
We're gonna have to send this to him.
Okay? Yeah,
we're gonna send Lindsay. We're gonna send this to him.
Lindsay, help me play guitar better. Lindsay,
you play guitar good. What are you talking about?
I do. I think he's great.
Talk to me about your teaching methods, because you teach people how to play the guitar. So this is something that I want to talk to you about. Talk to me about how you taught yourself, but also how you teach other people. What are your methods to teach people to be a guitarist? Because playing the guitar is not easy.
Nope, it's not easy. It sure is fun. So I started teaching myself because I was very insecure in lessons, and I really just wanted it to be for me. I didn't want to go to a lesson every week. I didn't want to be exposed to anything. I didn't want to be held accountable for anything. I just wanted something that was mine. And so I started teaching myself off of a book and a VHS. That's right. VHS.
Wow, we're going back. Okay.
Yeah. Mike Chris Jansen, How to Play Guitar, VHS and book combination packet that my mom got for me for my 13th birthday. And I just started learning basic chords. And at the time I was learning was the big time of Unplugged, MTV's Unplugged. Yeah. So like I was so into Nirvana and Hole and the Cranberries. Yeah. And I remember I was learning all these open position chords, and I was kind of like, yeah, okay, I guess. And I remember watching the Cranberries play, and they had all these great shots of her hand. And I was like, oh, I know the chord she's playing. Like, that's an E minor. That's a C. Like, oh my God, I know those chords. So then I would watch the thing, and I would write down the chords as I, you know, I'd rewind. Okay, E minor. And that's how I started to see like how what I was learning in the book was actually translating to songs that I loved. And then from there, I started writing my own songs, because I always thought I was going to be a singer-songwriter. And then 2 years of doing that, I wanted to know theory, so I started taking lessons. And then 2 years after that, I came out to Los Angeles to go to school for music. And then going to Musicians Institute, I had to make a choice of like, do you want to be a good singer-songwriter, or do you want to be a good guitar player? Because I couldn't do both. I couldn't work on my voice and be in the guitar program. It was just too much for me.
Okay.
So I was just like, make a choice. And I was like, okay, I'm just gonna do guitar. And I love it. I love it. It was the best decision. And now I'm taking voice lessons, so we're good. We're back to voice and singing. But
okay. Okay. See, I like that.
But
Talk to me about how music has helped you in your life.
Oh, it saves my life regularly. It allows me the space to feel things that I can't feel on my own. It is on some level. I guess maybe it was the first experience that I had of a higher power, of something greater than myself. Actually, I've never said that before. I've never thought that before, but it feels right, because the thing is music never leaves you. The guitar never abandons me. The guitar doesn't treat me like crap. The guitar doesn't talk down to me. music doesn't hurt me. Music doesn't come after me. But if I, so if I'm going to disconnect from it, it has to be on me. If I stop practicing, if I stop putting in the effort, then, you know, the connection pipe gets smaller and smaller and smaller, but it's always on my end. And that's what I'm working on with developing a relationship with God, of like, my God, I call him baby Jesus. Baby Jesus is always there for me, always looking out for me, always has my best interest in mind. But if I don't continually go, and I just say him, but you know, that changes. But for ease sake, if I don't continue to go to him and turn my will over and ask for help and do all these things, then my connection to my spirituality gets smaller and smaller and smaller. So I feel like maybe that was my first experience with a real higher power, because it was, there was no authorities involved. And maybe that's why I didn't want lessons, is I didn't want an authority figure. Because authority figures were not great to me. I had some great ones. I had some complicated ones. But I think maybe that it was completely outside of any adult.
Yeah.
And I also think it was, guitar has never come easy for me, ever. But it was just the right amount of hard.
I understand that.
Where, you know what I mean? Where you're just like, you have to get your hands dirty. You have to, every single thing, I tell my students this all the time, every single thing that I can do, I had to work my ass off. Nothing has come easy to me with this instrument. Not one chord, not one song, nothing. So everything that I can do is because I worked so hard and had to figure out all the ways around it. It's like, this isn't just, God just didn't go like, here you go, you know how to play guitar. It's like, I've devoted my entire life to this.
I wish.
It's not easy. It's not easy at all.
Oh, man. What's the best advice you've ever received in your life?
Best advice. One thing was from my teacher, Gary Solt, in school. He was talking about auditions, but I think that this applies to everything. Is he's just like, just show up and you're already ahead of 80% of the people.
That's true.
Because 80% of the people won't show up. They'll make an excuse. They'll forget. They won't, you know, whatever it is. So even if you show up with nothing, you're still ahead of the majority of the people who aren't even there.
I like that.
So just,
I like that. No, that's definitely true. Go for it. No, go for it.
I was trying to think if, I've just gotten such great advice for the years. That's the first one. And I think my mom would say something, wasn't necessarily advice, but it was just a hope. And she would always say, I hope, when I was struggling with something, she would say, I hope that this situation makes you softer.
Oh.
And I've always loved that, of when I get hurt, or when anybody gets hurt, it's that tendency to want to get harder and, you know, build up that armor and like, oh, I'll never let this happen again. And she's just like, I hope this makes you softer. And I always think about that when I want to be aggressive and push away. And like,
That's actually a really good saying. I've never actually heard it like that before. Oh, when was the last time you tried something new?
Tried something new?
Could be anything.
New. Well, back to the dance thing. Before quarantine, I was taking dance lessons with my friend. That was new. We did. I was trying to learn how to body roll. It was
Oh wow.
It was ugly, but I was trying. I would kept hurting my back. So I was like, I can't, my back hurts.
I'm gonna have to tell you to video that one time and just send it to me.
Yeah, it is cool. Not pretty. But man, I had a good time.
You had fun, right? Mm-hmm. What are you most proud of that you stand for?
I'm really proud that that I stand for myself finally, mm-hmm. and that I'm learning how to stand for myself, because this is new to me. is very new to advocate for myself. But in that, I'm so proud of being able to make myself visible for the people that cannot be visible.
I like that.
Especially the kids in my community that can't come out, that can't transition, that are afraid, that are bullied, that don't have access to resources, that don't have support. I'm proud that I was able to let myself be vulnerable enough to put my story out there in the hopes that they would feel safer. And that they would, I don't want anybody to have to feel as alone as I did. So if there's one kid out there that feels comforted in seeing my story, like that makes me feel really proud.
I like that. What would you do differently if nobody was judging you at all?
What would I do differently? That's a good question. I think I would put out more content on YouTube, like more conversational content, because for the most part, I'm very private.
Yeah.
About my life, but I'm also so worried about what people are going to say and how it's going to get twisted. So I think I would just be more open about how I feel about things. Because everything online, except for the transition videos, it's very, very specific. There's a very specific part of my personality that gets put out there.
Okay.
But it's distant.
Why is that? Is that because, like you say, you're conscious of how people will perceive you and what they will say to you, because you don't want to get hurt by people's words?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that that will change as you get stronger as an individual?
Yeah, it already is.
Good. I like that.
It already is.
I'm glad
it's
you said
slow
that.
Process, but little by little, day after day.
I'm glad you said that. How would you view the world? This is a good question, actually. How do you view the world if there was no social media?
How would I view the world if there was no social media?
Yeah, so how do you think the world would be if there was no social media?
Oh, God, it's so hard because, like, social media is amazing to keep people connected, and especially in this time where it's just nuts, where you can get information and you can get information from the sources that you want to get information from and follow the people that mean something to you that you wouldn't have access to.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think that is brilliant, but I also feel like I don't know. I know everything that, like, I know a bunch of stuff that, like, Laverne Cox is doing, but I don't know my neighbor's name.
That's true.
You know what I mean? So it's
that's true.
Without social media, then your community are the people in your area, because that's who you're talking to. That's who you're interacting with. But yeah, I can tell you all about Laverne Cox. What she just posted, but do I know his name? No.
Oh, wow. What advice would you give to someone looking to go into the same career as you as a musician?
Be consistent.
Oh, I heard that a lot.
Be consistent. Be open to bizarre opportunities that you would never think that you would get, and follow it. Because that's what happened with the videos. Like, I was touring a bunch, and I was like I was a touring musician. I taught a bit, and then I took this opportunity to do 10 videos for this company, Mahalo, and everything went crazy. And now that's been my life for the past 10 years.
Oh, wow.
And then I don't tour as often, and my life just took a crazy turn. But I allowed it to. I didn't say, well, if it's not the way that I think it should look, then it's not anything. I was just like, well, let's just go over here. And then that brought me all this stuff and then ended up taking me to Fender. Just I work for Fender for crying out loud. I am a nerd from Wheat Ridge, Colorado that works for Fender.
Well, that's and a good continues. Thing.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's great. But it's like, did I ever think that that would have been my path to working for this incredible company? No, I couldn't have predicted it. So I would say don't try to predict how things are going to happen, but roll with it and be consistent. Be consistent. Show up on time.
Yes.
Be easy to work with, because I am not the best guitar player in the world. But for the most part, I'm easy to work with. I show up on time. And I know that I provide a lot to any group that I'm with. And so I don't need to be the best guitar player in the world for me to have a career in music. So it's not about beating everybody else out.
Consistency.
It's about bringing you to the table and just being nice and easy to work with. Like,
see,
that makes a huge, huge difference.
See,
because almost always you'll get, you'll take the person that's easier to work with, that's lesser of a player.
Yes, that's true.
The most amazing player who is
a nightmare. Jerk. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you. I've seen a few.
Yes.
If there was one song that would be the soundtrack of your life, apart from Vogue, what song would you choose and why would you choose that song? So one day when they make a movie, and at the end of the movie, you know, when you get your soundtrack and you get the credits rolling up, and then they put one specific song that kind of sums the whole movie up,
what would it be? Oh, man, that's a good one.
What would your song be as the credits roll and you're like at the end of the film?
I don't know. I don't have an answer for that. I can tell you that right now, the song that I feel like is me is that new Billie Eilish tune, My Future.
Oh, I'm going to have to listen.
Her Future. I can't remember if it's My Future or Future. Totally. Yeah. Listen to lyrics. And I just
okay.
Really impressed that that's what she came out with. And it's basically saying I'm in love with my future. Like I'm not with anybody. I'm not attached to anybody because I'm in love with something else. I'm in love with my future. And I really feel that for my transition of like, I was depressed for a long time and, you know, struggling with PTSD and lots of things. And I almost every night I would pray for God to kill me. I was like, please make it quick. Like, let me get hit by a car. Let me just die in my sleep. Just make it quick, but please, please take me out of this. I can't deal with this. And that's been going on almost my whole life. And for the first time, this happened a couple months ago. For the first time, I started praying and saying, give me another day. Please give me another day. Like, I have to see what I become. And it wasn't anything attached to somebody else of like, I have to see what happens in my career. I have to see who my next girlfriend is. I have to see, you know, what house I buy or whatever. It wasn't these things that I had been chasing my whole life, thinking that that would bring me happiness.
Yeah.
Or thinking that that would not even bring happiness, but thinking that that would take away my pain. Because those things did bring me happiness, but it didn't take away my pain. If that makes sense.
Yeah. No, it makes sense
and
to me.
I wanted God to take the pain away and didn't think that I had any options outside of death. And as I'm healing the trauma, I'm realizing how much I want to see me for the sake of me. Mm-hmm. I want to see what I become. I want to see who I turn into. And that's been really powerful for me. So when she released this song, I was like, oh, 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 it hurt so bad, so good. I was like, yeah, I don't need a partner to make me whole. I don't need external things to take away the pain.
You have to start with yourself first.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But again, easier said than done.
Because that's
when
true.
You start digging at those wounds, it hurts so bad. It hurts so bad to let go of these things and to air them out. But it works. For me, at least.
I like that. Define what success means to you, because we all have a different definition of what success means. But what does success mean to you as an individual?
Now, success means, how do I say this? Success means my actions line up with my values.
I like that.
And so that's a daily thing of like, my values are to learn. My values are to show up for my friends and fellows and family. My values are to take care of myself, which means drinking a lot of water, eating, exercising, resting, doing step work. My values are to be honest, even when it's uncomfortable. My values are to be communicative, even when it's uncomfortable. So it's, do my actions match that during the day?
Yeah.
Like, did I take care of myself today? Did I eat good food? Did I call a fellow back? Did I do my step work? Was I honest about, you know, somebody saying, hey, can you do this thing for me? And did I say yes when I really meant no? Yes. You know, am I holding on to resentments? Like, how am I living? Because there is an authentic way for me to live, but I have to keep myself in check all the time.
Yeah.
And go, does this align with your core values? Does this decision to answer this email or not answer this email align with your core values? And so I try to base my days off of that. And the majority of the time I'm successful, and that feels really good.
I like that. Definitely. That's cool. What would you say to, what is the one question that you would like people to ask you, but you never really get asked?
That's a good question. People ask me a lot of stuff.
Oh, I know.
People ask me a lot of things. I think I wish sometimes that my support system would ask me a little bit more about how transition is going. It's been almost 2 years, but it's still incredibly new. So it's, again, back to that thing of the assumption of like, well, now that you've done, you're on testosterone and you had top surgery, that you're kind of done. But it's like, it's an ongoing thing. Mm-hmm. And while I love that my support group uses the correct pronouns and they're so amazing to me and validating, sometimes I wish they would just be like, so how is transition going? Like, what are you feeling? What are you noticing that's different? Because stuff is changing all the time.
Yeah.
All the stuff on my body, mentally, like it's continuing to change. I'm in the middle of puberty. I'm in the middle of male puberty. So it's not, you know, like when you see a boy growing up before puberty, it's not like there's before puberty and after puberty and it's like 6 months. Like they slowly go through it, and that's what I'm going through. So I wish sometimes people would ask me more, like, what does it feel like? What's going on?
But how does it feel to you? The next question is, how is it for you? How do you feel? What do you feel?
For the most part, it's great. It's wild. It's a ride for sure. But I feel more and more like myself, more and more settled into myself as my face changes, as my voice keeps changing, as like I grow more facial hair. It's like that relaxed feeling of finally I get to see what I always saw for myself, even when I was little. It's still weird. Like nobody told me about back hair. Nobody told me about shoulder hair, which I am getting.
Oh, I forgot
nobody
about that.
Nobody told me about getting hair on my feet.
Huh?
Nobody said anything. Yeah, I have this patch of hair like on my back. Yeah. I mean, I'm going to be hairy because I am.
I'm going to be hairy.
I am part Italian, so that's going to happen. But like, yeah, when I was stretching one day and I was like, I have hair on my feet. Nobody said this.
You're going to have to take a picture of them toes.
Because no, I shaved it. I was like, what? We're not. No. We're not ready for that. We're not ready for that. But like, yeah, you think about the, you know, the hair on the chest, hair on the belly, hair on the face, but nobody warned me about back hair.
So that's when you know it's coming. It's coming.
Yeah. I know. I've got to get a friend to shave it for me.
E-Mac.
Come over. I'll cook you dinner if you shave my back.
Oh, wow. Hairy dinner. What is your ultimate goal for yourself as an artist and for yourself as an individual? So what is your end game or end goal that you would be happy with to say, I've done it all, I've had enough?
You know, I don't think that there is an end goal for me, which is what I love. I love learning. I'm so passionate about learning all different kinds of things. So I don't want there to be an end goal because that would take away from my love. My love is to learn and to grow and to understand things better. And really, like, because I'm taking an inventory of my life right now, the things that I've accomplished, the places I've gone, the people I've met, the people I've dated, like, I've won. I technically have one life. I have been with the most beautiful women that my middle school self would die if you would have pointed out, like, hey, these women are going to love you. Not just been with as in like a notch on the belt or whatever, but like these women, for as crazy as our relationships were, they loved me. I had the most beautiful women love me. I am in Los Angeles and have been here for 20 years getting to play guitar. People pay me to talk to them about guitar. And I've been able to do that for a long time. Gigantic win. I've gotten to tour all over the world for thousands of people. And been recognized for my skill and gotten to perform and truly be me. Like the last person I toured with was Adore Delano, which was like,
wow,
are you kidding me? Like she just let me go off and be me 100% playing wise and personality wise. And so I have millions and millions of views on YouTube. Are they all great? All the videos are all perfect? No, not at all. But I won that. I work for Fender, or I have worked for them for the past 6 years.
Wow.
I won that. And they respect me. Even if I stop working for them, like, they respect me. Wow.
I didn't realize it was that long.
Yeah. Yeah, because I started doing just like some freelance work for them like 6 years ago or something. And then for Fender Play, it's been a constant thing for the past 3 years, but I was in and out doing demos and stuff like that. So, and then like voiceover, I'm so new to it, but I've already booked 2 gigs that paid me in real money. They paid me money to say lines into a microphone. They paid me money. Like legit, like it's in my bank account. You know what I mean? Like, it's not that that money is going to keep me secure for the rest of my life. Like, it's all going to rent. But
Hey, but the fact that it's there and it's for something that you love doing is a result within itself.
yes. So it's like, I mean, I said with voiceover, like, if I could just book one gig in a video game, then I would feel like I won. But I got one DVD and one commercial, and I'm like, great. Great.
Winning.
I'm winning. So I think that's been a huge change. And I know it can come across as like kind of egotistical, but I don't want to be afraid to own what I've accomplished, because all of this is because I worked really, really hard day in and day out. It's because I have an incredible community of people who are constantly helping me.
Yeah.
And back to that, I'm standing on the shoulders of so many people. I did not do this alone. I had to make the decisions. I had to show up, but I never did anything alone. There was all, even in my darkest times, there was somebody that was helping me. Do you know what I mean? There was, even if it was one person, if it was one school counselor or one friend that believed in me, and my mom always believed in me, so she was always there. But I'm benefiting from all this, but I still show up and I do the work. And so it's just acknowledging, like, I have one. And that's been the big shift with really uncovering my trauma and really doing the step work. Again, I'm gonna hound on this because it's the work that I've done to shift my thinking and
Yeah.
to not be a victim of my circumstances. And to not be a victim of my relationships and not be a victim of the authority figures growing up, and saying, yes, I was victimized. Yes, there were things that happened to me that were not my fault. I was trained in a certain way that was based off of alcoholism and insecurity and fear and anger and mistrust. But now I am an adult and I get to decide.
Yeah.
And I want to decide every day that I have already won, that I don't have to prove anything anymore, because I've spent my whole life trying to prove that I was worthy of love. And I don't want to do that anymore because I'm inherently worthy of love, just like everybody is inherently worthy of love. But
Yeah.
if I can't feel it, it's like a glass with, holes in the bottom. It's just going to drain out. So it didn't matter how much love people were pouring into me, it
It
would
just
all
come
leak
out.
out. Yeah. And sometimes faster, sometimes slower. But as I work to like plug those holes or make them smaller and smaller and smaller, then I can really feel the love and support that I've had this whole time. But I couldn't see it because I wasn't given the proper tools. And now I'm like, okay. You didn't give me the proper tools. I'm going to go find the proper tools then, because somebody has them. So thank you. Thank you, Dad, for not giving me the proper tools. There's somebody. I'll go look up
Yeah.
online who has the proper tools.
Well, why not? See, that's how, and that's where love begins. And that's where you start to find the beauty of what love is and how it should be towards you. I definitely agree with you.
I've won. I've got to see myself with a flat chest. I've gotten to be called he. I've gotten, again, 39 years God has given me. I don't know why, but he's given it to me.
I think you have a lot more years in store.
I hope so.
I
I
think you
want to be
have
one of
a.
those little old men, on those like little rascals.
Yeah. Oh my
You know what I'm talking about?
gosh. Yeah.
Like at the grocery store. Oh, I can't wait, because I'm gonna keep getting smaller.
I'm
So I'm
gonna
gonna put
keep
on these,
getting
like,
smaller.
because you get smaller as you age. So I'm gonna
That's
be under
true.
5 foot. I'm gonna probably be like 4'10". But I just want one of
Wow.
those little rascals that just take me around, be one of those cute little old men with those little hats. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh yeah, I would have mine to the side, considering I have big hair. I don't know how it's gonna work out, but I would have one on. See, mine would be a little bit high. I'm 5'2", so I'd be like, I would have a be one of them old women with gray hair and patches. And like, you know, and like big, huge breasts. But when I stand up, I fall over.
Gigantic glasses. Those huge glasses.
That would most probably be me, and ready to have a joke anytime. That would be me. So yeah, I'll be there. Don't worry. I'll call you. Be like, how's things going?
Like, I'm good. I've won again.
Oh man. And on that note, I'm gonna ask you my last question.
Yeah.
Here we go. So for all your followers and fans, where can they find you on all your social medias?
Oh, you can find me on Instagram at Jensen Silvio, JensenSilvio. And then everything else is either, it's under Jensen Tranny, TRANI, which is my last name, by the way. It is not a stage name. Also, God's little joke. My God has a really funny sense of humor. So he gave me the last name Tranny, and yes, I am transgender, and it's really funny, and
everything happens for a reason.
Because I always tell God, like, hey, if you are going to tell me anything, you can't send it to me like in butterflies, or, you know, like, you have to give me a gigantic neon sign with like arrows.
Wow.
Exactly. And then God was like, okay, cool. I got this great joke for you. It's going to land. It's going to land when you're like 36. So just wait for it. Like, I got the last name Tranny. And I'm transgender. Good one.
Oh,
good one,
man.
God. You got me.
Oh, man. And on that note, I'm going to say thank you so much, Jensen, for coming on the podcast. You've been a beautiful guest. I love your honesty, your emotions towards the podcast. And I want to thank you for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate that you would be interested in my story and be a great ally and advocate for me and my community.
Oh, most definitely. And guys, thank you so much for listening to the Us People podcast. Please remember you can subscribe to Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, and any other platform that you prefer listening to. Please also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And you can also donate to the Us People podcast by simply going to the Savvy Rocks website or just typing in paypal.me/Us People Podcast. Thank you for listening. Stay happy, stay positive, and as always, please continue to be kind to one another.
Great questions. It was super fun. I hope it gave you some kind of content to post.